Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Winning cures everything. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
This is the Big Game Previews show. We've got college football, and then we'll move into the NFL. We're going to talk about the biggest games of the weekend. But first, we'll play that sweet music.
We should pick a different fight song to play after Saturday.
That is the Florida State Band, and they did not look like they were having fun playing those instruments at the end of that game. I will tell you that. The show brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They have got six incredible sports books. You can find more information on them over at tunicatravel.com. You can find more information about us at winningcureseverything.com. All of our social media, all of our podcast feeds, YouTube, etc. Go check it out for yourself. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Leave some comments. We love to hear from you guys. I got to tell you, we had that one guy from East Carolina that was blowing us up, and he has completely disappeared.
Yeah, I put out an APB to somebody check on that guy.
That's a, he.
Look, I'm not trying to talk trash about a man, but
well, but if you're gonna talk trash, when just expect it.
I don't care. I'm not worried about that. He got it on Saturday, and it's okay. Yeah. But just, it's a game, and I just want to make sure you're all right. I care.
We do care. All of you guys that are in the YouTube comments.
I'm a little bit selfless. Selfish? Selfish? Not selfless. I've never been called that. I don't want to lose a viewer. I don't want to lose a subscriber.
Of course not.
Come on, man. Come on.
No, that's the way it goes.
Sorry.
On the Picks show, we're going to have a special guest this week and every week from here on. We're going to have TJ Reeves from the Three Dog Thursday podcast jump in with us for the college football segment and the NFL Picks segment. So make sure you check that out on the next show. Let's go ahead and talk about college football. First off, again, if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Leave some comments. Even if you talk trash, we're fine with it. It's all good. We will look for you if you go disappearing, okay? Just letting you know, we care. If you're listening on the podcast, hit subscribe. Leave a nice 5-star review. That helps out way more than you guys know. We do appreciate the support. College football big game preview time. Let's jump into it. You ready?
Yep.
This is yo boys.
Well, this is a big game. We got two mega games. One real big game. Should be close. Should be a good game.
We are recording on Tuesday night? I almost said Thursday. Tuesday night.
It's almost Thursday.
This week has been super strange because of Labor Day.
Late. You know,
really, really weird. LSU -6 at Texas. This line was Texas -1 just last week.
Yeah, but that was flips. Before we saw both these teams play. Opening lines always jump and change.
I know.
You can't, like,
I know.
By
I know.
Week I'm four, you saying. Can't see what week four's line was, so.
I know.
It opened at 4.5.
Yes, it opened at 4.5.
And then it has been moved to 6, but it hasn't been bet up to 6.
Yeah, you had pulled up.
I pulled up the betting numbers, and it is LSU.
What,
58, it was 57% of the bets are on LSU.
Which ain't that much.
That's not enough to move a line.
No, it's sure not. Sure not. Total is 55.5.
That's a lot of line movement for... Yeah, not a whole lot of money to move.
It's something weird. It's making people want to take Texas, I think.
Yeah, last week Vegas talked me into a bet and I lost my ass.
That's what happens, though. It's all good. 55.5 for the total. 6:30 p.m. on ABC Saturday night. It's at Royal Texas Memorial Stadium in Austin, Texas. LSU last week against Georgia Southern. 30 out of 39 passing for 350 yards, 5 touchdowns. Texas last week gave up 340 yards passing to Louisiana Tech. Do we see a mismatch here?
No.
Is it possible that Texas's pass defense is going to be outworked by LSU's passing game?
I don't know. I you know how I feel about big schools beating up on little schools, and I just think you could take all those numbers and throw them away.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can. All the metrics after week one says that LSU has a massive favorite. Oh, yeah. Massive, even bigger than this number. I just don't think you can get that from that. Texas is going to come out. They're going to be fired up. They're going to want to play. LSU's going to be fired up. Both teams talking trash. Texas trying to take the DBU thing. I don't know how many DBs they've put in the NFL, but we got a couple guys. We got a couple guys that are going to get some gold jackets. So, you know, that's fine. Got a couple guys that already got gold jackets. That's okay. But it's fun, but it's going to be a big game. All right. I don't know that we're going to see a matchup where two quarterbacks are as close. Now, Sam Ehlinger, I think, is nobody's going to argue. He is a better athlete than Joe Burrow. But this is about as.
Does that make him a better leader? I don't know.
No.
I don't think so.
No. And I'm not saying he's not a good leader. I'm just saying, no, that doesn't make him. But I'm just saying, I think this is about as close of an evenly keeled matchup, all levels of the football, that we're going to get.
The fact that we got this game.
If it's a blowout, one way or the other, I will be shocked as hell. I just don't see it.
I'm glad that we got this matchup. What is it? 2.5, 3 seasons, whatever it is. Or I guess it's just two seasons.
It's just two.
After the Thanksgiving night debacle, where it was reported that Tom Herman was taking the LSU job, and then he passed on it.
Yeah.
And rather than be shown up, the LSU AD at the time decided it would be a good idea to hire Ed Orgeron at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, right after the game. Like, talk about an emotional decision. But it has worked out.
No, it's
LSU
worked out.
LSU appears to be.
I've never had a problem with the hire. I always have a problem with the process.
Yes.
And that's a very ticky-tack thing. It just means that if Ed ever leaves for whatever reason, if we don't have some sort of plan for how we're going to hire coaches, you can't always just fall out of bed and get lucky.
Yes.
It's just not how this game works. I'm an administrator. I've been an administrator for a while. If you do something without a plan and it works, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
It literally means nothing to me. So that's my problem with that. I love where we're at. I love where both schools are. They're both getting back to where they should be, which is in the top 10 of college football, in all-time relevance of college football, and in big games.
Tom Herman, as a coach, 13-2-1 all-time against the spread as an underdog. That includes 8-2-1 at Texas. Do you think maybe they're doing him a favor, making him an underdog here?
I don't know that they're doing him a favor, you know.
I mean, obviously they're not doing it for him.
That's right.
But this, I mean, Herman has a way of firing his boys up when they are behind the
numbers. If you need extra help getting fired up because you're a dog in a game like this, then shame the hell on you.
Agreed.
If LSU's not fired up in this game because they're favorite, then everybody needs to be fired. I don't think any of that stuff matters.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know me. I don't care about trends. I don't care about what's happened in the last decade or 20 years in a row, because none of those kids are there today. None of those guys are going to line up and put their hand in the dirt on Saturday. None of them.
True.
That's why none of that crap matters to me.
Let's go ahead and make some picks. You know who I'm rolling with.
I know.
And it ain't because I don't like LSU. I think LSU is immensely talented.
You're just going to always take the safe bet. That's what you do.
I like the against the spread thing here.
You take safe.
And Texas being at home, I think they've been circling this game for a long time. I'm rolling with Texas, not only straight up, or not only against the spread, I'm rolling straight up.
That's good.
And you're going the opposite way.
I'm going with my Tigers. I do think it's going to be a close football game. I don't think anything's going to be a blowout, but I think a touchdown game doesn't change much.
I think, yeah, you're right.
So,
let's move on. The Texas A&M Aggies at the Clemson Tigers. This is a 17.5 point spread in favor of Clemson. 2:30 p.m. on ABC. The total, 64.5. A lot of points for a game like this. Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina. You got a battle of quarterbacks. You got a battle of coaches. Two national championship winning coaches.
We won't get many opportunities for two national championship coaches.
And this is like the all name bowl.
That's right.
Jimbo and Dabo and Kellen and Trevor. Like I'm all in on this. How do you feel about this game? I know you love Texas A&M and what they're doing under Jimbo Fisher.
That's right.
Metrics really seem to like Clemson here, and yet that number keeps going down. The metrics, it opened at 19.5, right?
That's right. Opened at 19.5. We're down to 17.
Down to 17.5. Metrics have got this at Clemson by over 3 touchdowns.
So that's fine. I like A&M, but I like them a lot. I've talked about that. I'm not thinking that A&M is going to win this game. I know A&M believes that, and I'm glad they do, because if you go into the game and you don't think you got a chance to win, then you shouldn't be playing in it. But, would it shock me if A&M pulled off a massive upset here? I don't know that I would be super surprised. No. I think they're a really good football team. They're coached by a professional coach that knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And he's building this program up. I also think... it hurts Clemson that they don't get tested week in and week out. And not that we're far enough into the season for that to matter. They look bored against Georgia Tech. They didn't look impressive against Georgia Tech, but I don't think that's because they're slipping or they're not going to be as good this year. I just think they're not into it.
Yeah, they just...
They got to get into this game. And if they don't get into this game, there's no game on their schedule for them to get into. This is the biggest and best team they're going to play all year.
And that would make you think that maybe they would come out and win this one by 3 touchdowns, right? I'm curious.
I think the other team's going to have something to say about that.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Are they going to want to come out and win this game by 3 touchdowns? Sure.
Well, of course. Absolutely.
But I think the other team is good enough to square up with them and give them. They gave them their best shot last year. People say, oh, well, Kelly Bryant, coach. No, Trevor Lawrence was in that game too. And Trevor Lawrence got benched in that game. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think that's the biggest matchup.
Not because he got hurt. He got pulled.
That's the biggest matchup in this entire game is Mike Elko's defense against Trevor Lawrence. And they kind of embarrassed him last year.
That's right.
And I think that they could do it again.
Ooh. You think they can embarrass Trevor Lawrence?
I think so. Holy I think they could crap. Make him, they can make him look really bad. Mike Elko does that.
I won't be upset if that happens.
Mike Elko does that to quarterbacks all the time.
Well, while we're talking about them, let's just see if I can find that. You keep going. You keep breaking the game down real quick.
Travis Etienne, if Trevor Lawrence begins to have problems, I think that is because of the defensive line issues, and there's not really that many issues per se with Texas A&M, but... If Trevor Lawrence starts to have issues throwing the football, he can't really... That will be his safe haven. That will be who he runs to. Travis Etienne can catch the ball out of the backfield. He is as explosive as it gets. There's two super explosive players in college football. It is Etienne and Jerry Jeudy. And Etienne might be 1A as opposed to 1B on this. Like, those two guys are unbelievable. A&M's defensive line... Got really, really young guys. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Obviously, I think they're going to bring linebacker pressure, edge rushers like crazy to try and get to Lawrence. If they are able to get to Lawrence, you better look out for the screen game. Because I think these A&M defenders are young enough that they will overplay.
Yeah, that's what's going to hurt the defense is the fact that I think they're athletic. I think they can play with anybody. The problem is they are young.
Yes.
And that's it, is they're going to be susceptible to not maintaining the edge and over-advancing up the line of scrimmage when plays get by them or behind them.
Yeah.
And now you're chasing these crazy athletic guys from Clemson from behind.
On the other side.
Now, you brought up the you think they have a chance in this game. You think that there might be pulled in some kind of upset or whatever. Listen, if the defense embarrasses Trevor Lawrence, which said, then A&M's going to win this game. That's the truth. Okay.
What kind of money line are we talking about?
Plus 625. Listen, you just sprinkle a little bit. It don't cost you anything. I mean, it's basically just money you're throwing away. Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to piss that money away going to Sonic when this thing's over with. So, you know, don't get that extra shake and
there you go.
Put a little bit on this and got a, like, you know, a nice payday.
For our big game picks, I'm rolling A&M plus the 17.5 because I do think that this will end up being a close game. Clemson's at home. I think this is their only big game. They will be focused. The talent is comparable. Clemson has a little more, but I like Clemson at home here. I think Clemson wins the game straight up, but I like A&M to cover.
Yeah, I like A&M to cover. I like them to keep it close. Been wrong before. Look, if somebody's going to embarrass somebody, it could easily be Brett Venables embarrassing Kellen Mond.
No, 100%.
I don't want to see that. I've bought into Jimbo. I've bought into Mond. I've bought into this A&M team. But if there's a man capable of embarrassing somebody, it's Mr. Venables.
Speaking of embarrassing, Syracuse is shellacking a few freezes. Liberty Flames last week was slightly embarrassing for the man in the hospital bed. Syracuse at Maryland. Maryland is a 2.5-point favorite now. This line opened up at Syracuse -2.5, right? Or -3, I think.
Yeah.
And now has flipped 5.5 points. The total is 57. It is 11 a.m. on ESPN from Maryland Stadium in College Park, Maryland. Scott Van Pelt's boys, the Terps. Man, they looked like they were on fire under Mike Locksley in week one. And I know you're rolling your eyes here, but 79-0.
Picking on a helpless, defenseless kid. That's
against Cam Newton's little brother. Why would you do a man like that? Well, I'll tell you why, because you're not going to be able to do that in this game, I don't think. Josh Jackson looked really, really good after transferring from Virginia Tech.
Did you hear the reason they ran it up to 79?
I have no idea.
There is an internet. Now, I don't think nobody from Maryland has said this, but there's internet philosophies that, I shouldn't ever forget his name based on what happened. The young man that died,
he
wore 79, and they said they wanted to get it to that. And I think that's some bunk.
I think
you brought Howard in, and you beat the hell out of him.
Like, I don't think that's it.
Congratulations, Locksley. Hope that was nice.
But it
hope
did. It did get the public on his side big time. And cheers to Locksley, because I'm telling you, with his record at New Mexico, man, that was the fact that he's got another head coaching job is just remarkable. Like the Nick Saban rehab job is wonderful. Syracuse,
they've moved that line, and there is still 67% of the people in Maryland.
Yeah, see, that's just.
That's after line movement.
They put up a massive number.
You think Syracuse just by not beating Liberty that bad?
They beat them 24-0, so people think, well,
Dino Babers has a little bit more class.
Yes, I think he does.
I don't know these two individuals. I'm just working under that assumption.
I also believe.
I also like one of them a lot.
I believe that Dino Babers has got a hell of a football team.
Yes.
And the fact that so many people are underselling this bunch. Look, this was not supposed to be a big game on this schedule, right? Not for Syracuse and Maryland. That's obviously right. Every game's big. But just as far as like a big matchup that matters. Well, now this one matters. Like, this is a big deal. Dino has been here before. You want to talk about offensive gurus? Dino Babers is the guy. Tommy DeVito didn't look great last week. He did enough to get through. They didn't do anything to run up the score. They didn't do anything. You know, it was interesting. And they put a goose egg on Liberty, who averaged 35 points a game last year.
A really good offense that brought a lot of kids back.
Yes, in a offensive genius. Regardless of the fact that he's in the hospital,
he didn't coach this game at all. So
either way. Yeah, but it was his game plan. It was his. I mean, you get the point.
I don't.
Either way.
I don't.
Either way, they had Buckshot Calvert, man.
I think Hugh Freeze.
How dare you disgrace the
name of
Buckshot?
I think Hugh Freeze was there because Hugh Freeze likes to see himself on TV.
I believe that.
That's why I think Hugh Freeze was there.
I 100% believe that. 100% believe that. I am rolling with Syracuse, not only to cover the spread, but to also win the game outright, because I am not buying Maryland yet.
I got to look. I'm sure the money line is nothing. Yeah.
Oh, it's like so, plus 115.
Yeah, plus 110. Yeah, don't even get that.
Yeah. That's, I'm all over that.
No, I'm the same way. I'm Syracuse. I'm Syracuse. Big, big, big.
I don't know about big.
I love Dino Babers.
I don't know about that third big there.
I'm okay with that. I'm gonna tell you this. Maryland won't score half of what they scored last week.
Oh, good. Half of what they scored last week was 40.
Hey, man.
Yeah, you gotta roll with it.
I stand by my statement.
You gotta roll with it. All right, all right. Next game up. Game number four on the big game previews before we get into the interesting matchups after game five. Game number four is Nebraska, -3.5-point favorite at Colorado. The total is 64.5. It's at 2:30 p.m. on Fox. So for all the people that have multiple screens set up, because the majority of the country will be watching Clemson, Texas A&M, Nebraska-Colorado will be on Fox at Folsom Field in Boulder, Colorado. Look,
this is going to be an interesting game.
That's exactly why I've got it on this list. Scott Frost looked in week one. The people expected them to come out and destroy South Alabama.
I felt so much better about all my Nebraska future owners.
Oh, yeah. They did not even score as many points as the spread was.
Yes.
That's scary.
They didn't equal the spread number in points.
Yes.
Much less beat somebody by that number.
Now, Mel Tucker, with Colorado, you and I sat at the sports book on Friday night and watched Mel Tucker put up some points. Nebraska scored, 35? Put up 35 points. Like Colorado hung 52. 52 for the Buffs.
You think both those defenses were comparable?
I would say
South Alabama better than Colorado State?
About the same. I think South Alabama's probably got some bigger boys.
I think South Alabama's defense is better. Not that it changes my opinion of things.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
But yeah, South Alabama better. Is that weird? South Alabama better than Colorado State?
Who's got a better defense, Nebraska or South Alabama? Like,
oh no, that's a different conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Look, LaVisca Chenault and Mr. Montez.
You told me while we were sitting there. Now, I thought maybe you had a few too many pops in you and you were just talking crazy.
Now, I've been drinking coffee by that point.
You said this kid was the best athlete in all of college football.
Yeah. Was I wrong?
Well, I don't know. We're 1 week in and he beat the hell out of a really bad team.
He played half the year last year. In the games that he was in, they were undefeated. And then they lose him.
He's
and
an
he's
athlete.
Gone.
That is a bold statement, my friend.
Hey, I don't care how bold it is. It ain't bold if it's true.
You did tell me about this time last year that Josh Allen was the best athlete in last year's team football last year.
I mean, 100%. And I was dead on. Josh Allen from Kentucky, not Wyoming. Don't get it twisted.
Well, he wasn't there last year. He was with the Bills already.
I know, but I'm just saying. And for people that are watching that are trying to get
nobody would configure one of those guys being the best athlete in all of college football.
I would hope not. But either way, just tossing out there. Josh Allen from Kentucky, best athlete last year. LaVisca Chenault, best athlete this year from Colorado.
Will he get any luck, because he plays at least the right side of the ball, he get any kind of Heisman love at all?
They win on Saturday.
What if Nebraska fans are about to get really mad. I don't mean to make you mad. What if Nebraska has like 6-7 losses? I mean, what if they have?
No. They can't.
They don't
just
make a bowl game
Saturday.
Okay.
Like it's you can't be like
this is a big win for Colorado, but then later we look back and say, oh, that really wasn't that big of a win. Does it change things? It is
important because it is this week.
That's right.
You have to win this to get to the next level.
I got you.
They got to win this week.
Okay.
And then he'll start to get some national love. Like, okay. He already has some, right? There are some believers in his camp right now. But
it's just
not really loud.
Our boy Clay Travis says all the time, you never like the Heisman favorite.
No.
And he fully believes that never is the guy who's predicted to be the favorite he never wins. It's always somebody who comes from behind that nobody suspected at the beginning of the year. That's why I thought, okay, when you said that, I'm thinking, does he even have a chance to get invited?
No, because he plays it like, I love Colorado. Don't get me wrong. I love Nebraska, too. Like, ain't nothing wrong with
that. So where
he
plays hurts.
But, yes, I think it absolutely hurts. One, he's in the Pac-12, so you're not going to see him a bunch. This is a prime spot for
him.
That's
right. Oh, no, he needs to show out on TV, on national TV.
If he starts putting up some major league numbers in this game against Scott Frost, and they end up pulling out a win, and it's just highlight reel after highlight reel, 100%, he's got a shot. He's got a shot.
Okay.
So, and look, we just got to make sure Mr. Montez gets him the ball.
That is the other problem. He doesn't play the position that gets the Heisman anymore.
Now, on the other side, Adrian Martinez didn't look great last week, but last year, when he put up some major league numbers, I think maybe they took that first game a little lightly. If they come out swinging, like they got the players to be able to kind of run away with this.
So we didn't talk about Nebraska enough other than kind of crapping on them. That's shame on us. We actually need to do that. If Scott Frost is the coach that we think he is, legit, real, excellent head coach, they'll be much improved. The team that we see play this game won't be the team that we saw play last game, correct?
Agree.
We agree with that.
I agree. Okay. I'm going to let you make a pick first. How are you feeling?
I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take the home dog.
All right, so you're taking Colorado plus 3.5.
I don't love it. We pick all the big games. These are not gambling picks.
You're taking them straight up?
Gun to my head, I'm going to take Colorado. No, I'd like to see it because I got a lot of Nebraska under 8.5. I'd sure like to see it.
All right, so you're rolling Nebraska to win, though, right? You're thinking it.
I don't know. Are we doing that for the big games?
Yes, for the big games. You're picking a straight-up winner and a pick swear, spread.
I wasn't emotionally prepared for this.
All right.
I'll give you Colorado. Let me go with the home team. I'll go with the home team.
All right, you just okay.
It's a small enough spread.
All right, here's what I'm going to do.
That's not a crazy bet.
I'm going to take the over. I'm just...
I'm about to hit you. I never know what the hell we're doing on these things. Show up. We're doing different shit every week.
I'm going to roll Nebraska minus the 3.5. If only... Like, my gut tells me Nebraska. My mind is telling me, like, man, Colorado looked really good. Yeah. You know, I think Nebraska maybe bounces back.
Picking Colorado to win the game might be overreaction from week one. I'm admitting to that. I understand the public saw both of these two teams, and the public is all saying, oh, man, that Colorado team looked a hell of a lot better than the Nebraska team.
Yeah.
That's not what you're going to get this week. Those two teams are going to be different.
Yeah.
Is different good enough to change the outcome of what I think? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Let's close up with this one before we get into the interesting matchups here. Game number 5 in the big game previews, Cincinnati at Ohio State. Ohio State minus 16.5. Favorite juice is minus 110 on that one. 55.5 is the total. 11 a.m. on ABC from Ohio Stadium in Columbus. You love Cincinnati and Luke Fickell, don't you?
I do love Cincinnati and Luke Fickell.
I do think that Ryan Day and that bunch could keep this closer for Luke Fickell. Right? Like, I think they would win by a couple of touchdowns.
And call the dogs?
I think.
Here's the problem with that. A couple of touchdowns isn't enough unless there's like 1.5 minutes left. You can't call the dogs because Cincinnati's not going to call the dogs. They're going to keep continuing to try to win the game until it says all zeros. That's just going to happen. If you call the dogs, you get caught.
Yeah, but I think
you get beat.
I think Ohio State is
you think they're that much better to where they could name their score.
Yeah, I kind of do.
Wow,
I think
that is just massive disrespect.
That's hey, this is not disrespect. This is the talent gap. The talent gap between these two is worlds apart. Ohio State, as far as that blue chip. Whatever it's called, the blue chip gap that I was talking about.
Sure. The ranking of what these kids were like in high school. I gotcha.
Ohio State is number one in the country.
Number one over, in over the country. Alabama, in the world.
Over Georgia.
Nobody on the planet are as athletic as them. They got more five stars than everybody.
I'm just saying it's in Ohio Stadium. It is game number two. Justin Fields, we know now, can do something.
Well, yeah, he's really good at football. Who would have thought that?
How are you feeling about this?
I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take all those win? Points. I wrote down the money line. It is plus 550.
Plus 550 is not enough for me.
Well.
For these guys.
That's where we're different.
I
you know what?
Luke
Fickell going back to his old team? Sure.
You're rolling Cincinnati to win. To win the game.
To win the game.
All right, I'll write it down.
Write it down.
I'll write it down. I'm going to take the opposite side of this. I'm going to go Ohio State minus 16.5.
You're laying all those points.
I'm laying all of them. I think Ohio State's talent is that much more superior to Cincinnati's.
I don't argue that.
I think Cincinnati played a dog crap team last week.
What do you think Georgia State's talent is, Tennessee?
Oh, nothing.
What do you think Wyoming's talent, Miami?
I was like, what is Miami?
I don't know where the hell Miami is. I've been to Wyoming on Tunica the other night.
Wyoming.
What do you think Wyoming's talent to Missouri was?
Probably more comparable than Tennessee's to Georgia State.
Okay. It happens every week.
Yeah, but you're every talking week. About Missouri and Tennessee. You're not talking about
I fully understand that. But we're also talking Cincinnati.
Compared to... Okay, I'm with you.
Cincinnati is light years better than those other teams. I mean, just worlds better than those other teams.
I will tell you this. If they find a way to make Justin Fields uncomfortable...
Oh, this defense is going to make him uncomfortable.
It could be a very
this
long
This defense is
going
to make him uncomfortable. They're going to know he's there.
I'm curious because you haven't seen him in any real adversity yet, right?
Well, he's going to feel adversity. They might win this game by four touchdowns, but Justin Fields is going to feel adversity. Yes. He is going to get hit, and he's going to get harder than he's been hit in a long, long time.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a tough-ass team. You remember that Temple team years ago with my boy?
Matt Rhule?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I think Cincinnati is right now. Just... They are just tough as nails, man.
I think I agree with you. I do.
I don't know.
I do think Ohio
the
State
that they,
is that much better.
Calling them to win this game is a little ridiculous. But it's why I like betting big underdogs.
Because sometimes it'll hit.
Because I need it to hit once. And if it hit once, it buys me 10 times of not hitting. More than that, 55 times of not hitting.
That's true. I remember you were the one that had the money line on Iowa over Ohio State.
You damn right.
However long ago that was. What were they, 20-something point underdogs, 22-point underdogs?
Yeah, it was over three touchdowns, and it was like a plus 1,200. I mean, it was something crazy money line.
Yeah, and it hit, and you were in the black for a long time.
Porky picking it that night.
Believe it. All right, let's talk about the most interesting matchups. Start off with West Virginia at Missouri. Missouri, a 14-point favorite. Missouri looked awful last week. Now, the offense did some good things. West Virginia played a really good FCS team in James Madison, won 20-13. Austin Kendall was great.
Yep.
Had two touchdowns. Everything about them was okay. I think people are maybe underselling West Virginia a little bit.
When I saw this line was 14 points, I had to do a double take.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe a team that just got beat by Wyoming was a two-touchdown favorite against what I think is a really well-coached team, and they came off a win, which they weren't crazy impressive, but that was a tough FCS team. You brought that up. They didn't just bring in some pup to beat up.
Yeah.
And this wasn't Howard, okay?
No, this was, like, they were only a 7-point favorite over James Madison.
Yeah, they pushed. I like this West Virginia team. It's not that I like this West Virginia team. I am in the tank with Neil Brown.
I have been
for a long, long time.
I don't think that West Virginia can do the same things that Wyoming can do because Wyoming has got girth on the lines, right? They were able to push Missouri around
a
in a way that West Virginia will not.
A lot of mass
work.
that's hard to move.
Yes, and West Virginia does not have that.
But it's just right different, now. It's a different type of offense. It's going to be a different type of offense.
That's if I had to roll one way, I'd probably roll the over. But we'll figure that out in the pitch podcast.
I'm gonna if we're picking these games, I'm gonna take West Virginia points.
Army at Michigan. Michigan minus 22.5 at home in the Big House. It just seems like a lot of points.
It does seem like a lot of
points.
Against a real football team, not just some pup that you bring in. This is not pay for wins.
Well, and you've got Wisconsin next week on the road. You might be looking ahead a little bit. You're still trying to figure out your own offense. There's going to be way less possessions in this game because Army likes to keep it forever.
That's right.
Like we saw that against Rice. They had
here's
a
the problem
19
with that.
Play drive.
I fully understand that. I do think there's some Michigan's defense is good. Army's not going to keep the ball for 19 plays in a drive to score a touchdown.
I agree.
And if they do, they will do that once or twice because nobody's scoring 30 points against Michigan all year.
No,
that's just not happening.
I agree with you. However, they do take up almost the entire play clock, like every time they run a play.
That's fine.
And it shortens the game.
But if they go three and out like everybody else is going three and out against Michigan's defense, then it don't. Then you take twice the play clock.
Agreed.
You're still punting at some point in time.
Here's the deal. This is why better teams have started to run more up-tempo stuff, right? You and I have talked about this before, but like for Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma to go up-tempo, when you have better players, the more plays you have, that is the more chances of you winning a play.
That's right.
If the game is shortened, that is less chances for your better players to win plays. Army shortens the game. It's what happened against Oklahoma last year, right? Army shortens the game. You've only got 50 plays to play with as opposed to 100 like Boise State against Florida State last week. That's what Army does. They shorten up this game, that 22.5 point spread. Like Michigan could win by 3 touchdowns and completely dominate this game and not cover the spread.
The problem is you compared them to Oklahoma who couldn't stop anything last year.
Agreed.
And Michigan's going to get stops. Army's going to punt. Yes. They didn't punt against Oklahoma.
I know.
They just couldn't stop Oklahoma.
They couldn't stop Oklahoma.
But Army's going to, I mean, Michigan's going to cause them to punt.
I agree. I'm not comparing them to Oklahoma. I'm just rolling.
I'm very curious where all, because everybody I've heard is picking Army in this game. Where's the money at? 79% of the money going to Army. Give me Michigan. Y'all can have all those points. You can have them all.
That is.
Have them all.
That's a lot of money coming in on Army. Next game up, Stanford at USC. I've got this on here. USC is when I wrote this down, they were a 2.5-point favorite. Look up for me and tell me what they are currently as of recording time. What is it? Stanford and
pick 'em. Nope, open pick 'em. USC minus one.
USC minus one.
That's Vegas Insider. Let me actually go to a book. See what a book has. I got them USC minus one. Holy.
USC minus one. All right, so here's the deal. I don't think that we've gotten any firm news about KJ Costello. I don't think he's going to play this week. And, of course, JT Daniels
is
out for the season. So it really comes down to which freshman quarterback or which backup quarterback. I think they're both freshmen, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Which one do you like more?
I think I like the coach more
for Stanford. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
when we're getting into backup quarterbacks, now we're on even playing fields there. Now I'm looking at which team is going to have that guy better prepared.
And you'll roll with David Shaw.
I'm going to roll with David Shaw.
I can believe that. I can believe that.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that it was a pick and it moved to
the other way.
That shocks me.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
I mean, I know they're at home, but that didn't care. Oh, never mind. 93% of the money's on Stanford. 93% of the money from Vegas Insider is on Stanford right now. And it moved from pick 'em to one. Now, I'm not buying that crap because they got me on South Carolina last week where all the money was on UNC and they kept making the number bigger. And so I was like, Vegas knows something. Cost me some money.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious.
This is a complete stay away.
UCF, Central Florida Knights at Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic plus 10 in this game. The Fighting Lane Kiffins down in Boca Raton.
We're going to break this game down with.
Yep, we're going to break it down with TJ Reeves from the Three Dog Thursday podcast. So make sure you jump into the Gambling Picks show. I do like this game. I think it's very interesting. It's a look-ahead spot for Central Florida. But we'll discuss some more about that later. Miami at North Carolina. This is now a 4.5-point spread. It opened at a touchdown. People love Mac Brown. They love Mac Brown.
He made me look bad last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, he made a lot of people look bad last week. And Miami has had a week off. They got a chance here. I don't know. I mean, which way would you lean here?
What's the number, four? I'd go with Miami.
Yeah, I think I'd probably roll Miami on that.
I go with Miami.
I think they got better.
I told you, we left that week zero game, and I felt better about Miami leaving that game than I did Florida.
Yeah, same here.
I know they lost it. I felt better about them.
BYU at Tennessee. I didn't know
we had this many games.
Yeah, I put this on here. BYU cannot lose this game. Tennessee cannot lose this game. That's why it is.
Oh, Tennessee can lose this game.
No, I'm saying they, as far as their fan bases go, like both of them.
We're probably going to see them do it.
Both head coaches will completely lose the fan bases if they do this. So I'm curious.
The only reason BYU's fan base would lose it is because Tennessee lost so bad last week. That's it. If this was a normal, let's say this is a 6-6 Tennessee team, okay, that played real hard. We just lose everything.
We just lost that, but that's okay.
Podcast
still rolling.
All right. I don't think there's any pressure on BYU. They play a really hard schedule. That's normal.
Yeah.
Their only pressure is because Tennessee lost so badly last week.
Yeah.
And if you can't beat the team that got beat like that, and that's bad logic. I don't like that kind of logic.
Okay.
Because these are week-to-week teams.
No, I mean, you're right. But look, BYU, with the way that they got embarrassed by Utah at home last week, they've got some rough stuff coming up. They want this coach to move another step forward, right? That's the biggest thing. Move another step forward and go from there. So,
excuse me, about to sneeze in the mic. Sorry about that, guys. So, this line opened at 1. It is now at 3.5.
With 63%.
It's line movement because of betting. Tennessee. So people are betting Tennessee.
Which is pretty crazy. With as badly as they got whipped.
The reason I looked that up was strictly because I thought, who could in good conscience go bet Tennessee after that game?
A lot of people, apparently.
Apparently a lot of people.
Now this may be Sharps jumping in on it, but I'm telling you.
That's got to be it, right? That's got to be it.
That's got to be it. That's
because I'm going to bet all the metrics say Tennessee by a ton or whatever.
No, all the metrics actually have it right around 3.
No, that's because Sharps do preseason stuff, all this stuff. Lines all week. I'm going to bet they say you can't take anything from week one, throw it away. I'm sticking with my lines. I'm sticking with my numbers. I got Tennessee minus, you know, 9.5 or whatever. 10. Yeah. And therefore, you know, it's all this. That's the only way. Because there's no public action.
Yeah.
Zero public people can see that number and say, hang on, Tennessee's favored? Didn't they get the hell beat out of them out? No, I'm not betting that.
No. I mean, you're right. All right. That is going to wrap up the college football big game previews. And now, moving into NFL big game previews. Week one of the NFL season. Chris is pumped about this. This is his time of year. This is what he does. He specializes in NFL talk, right?
I know. I just like football. And I like NFL football just as much as I like college football.
I can understand.
I don't have a favorite. And you seem to like college a lot more than NFL.
I love college.
Well, I do too, but I love football.
Yeah, I understand that.
I don't care what level it is. Look, I like football.
I like college football more than the NFL, but I do like the NFL. So, With that said, the show brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got six wonderful sports books, and you can bet on NFL and college at all of them. They're all great. Chris and I were down there last weekend. We enjoyed ourselves immensely. Stayed out until, what, like 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
I mean, good gracious. I was feeling it the next day. Feeling it the next day. I can't do that anymore. We probably will. But I tell myself that every time I go out. Because the next day, I'm just exhausted.
I just need to make sure I don't have to get up at 5:36.
We don't go out and get drunk. We don't, like, nothing like that. It was just, we stayed out.
Had late. A few pops. Watched some football.
We had a few. But it wasn't like, we weren't hammered. We weren't obliterated. And yet, here we go. We only had college football to watch last week. We got NFL this week. So let's talk about the NFL previews. Let's go ahead and move through these. We'll try and get through these a little bit quicker than we did the college ones. Game number one, Thursday night, NFL's 100th season. Of course, they're going to start it off with something spectacular like Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers against the Bruise Brothers and the Chicago Bears. The Bears, a 3-point favorite, -110 is the juice. 46.5 is the total at 7:20 p.m. Thursday night on NBC from Soldier Field in Chicago. Mitch Trubisky, people are torn on this guy, right? Is he good? Is he not good? Nobody really has an answer, I don't guess.
He is one of the few enigmas of the NFL.
Yeah.
We feel like we understand who most of these guys are, especially the quarterbacks. You see them so much. Mitchell was just one of those guys where nobody's really sure what you're getting.
And you don't necessarily have to with this team.
No, you
don't. Matt Nagy has figured out that if I just get this guy to not make mistakes, I've got a good enough defense, a good enough running game, there are enough weapons at wide receiver in order for us to be able to win games. They went, what, 12-4 last year? Or 11-5? What was it? I don't remember. Nah, either way.
Stuff off the top of my head I wasn't prepared for.
I want to say 12-4. I could be completely wrong on that. But the game is at home. This will be kind of a revenge-type situation for the way that the opening of last season went, where they were up 12-4 last year.
Did you see it?
Is that up there in the
top? Yeah, right there. Yeah,
12-4. All right. I was right on that.
There you go.
My brain did not fail me that go around. I like the Bears a lot here. I think it's going to take the Packers a while to get used to their new head coach, Matt LaFleur. I do think that this new offense, this new idea, this new coach is going to work out okay with the Packers. I don't think it works in Chicago where there is actual, literal hatred between these teams. I think the Bears want to get back. Obviously, they got back at them middle of the year last year. But the way that that first game went down, where Aaron Rodgers goes out with what looks like just a season-ending injury, and he's carted off the field, and then he comes back, and he's playing on a GIMP leg, and is GIMP offensive? Can I say that?
I don't know. I mean, you can,
I don't know.
You can say it to me. If
that offends anybody, I apologize.
I'm impervious of offense.
I apologize.
Personal attacks hurt, but like something things say.
I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, my Lord. Either way, he had an injury, came back, led him down the field, scored 3 unanswered touchdowns to win the game. I think it embarrassed the Bears. It led to a really good season for them. I don't think it happens here. We got to make picks on these, right? What else should we point out? What is David Montgomery going to look like here?
So I think the Bears' offense is going to look different than last year. I do think they're going to be improved, much improved. I've heard multiple people talk about the offseason for the NFL is really long. We have the entire month of August where it's just so much chatter, 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 chatter. You hear so much about these teams. You kind of hear everybody goes from good to bad, and it just depends on who you're listening to that day and how they're feeling. I think the offense is going to be better. I think the defense is going to take a step back. Because Vic Fangio is a genius. I believe that. And losing him is massive. But at the same time, you still have all the dudes that were there that were running this defense. I think they're going to be fine. Are they going to be as dominant as last year? Maybe not. But if the offense takes its step forward, they take a little step back, the team can continue to run and 10-game seasons, 12-4, not outside of the realm of possibility. I think they beat the Packers, and I think they beat up on them. I think it's going to take a while for this offense. And I don't know. So you think they'll eventually get it figured out. I don't know that I believe in Matt LaFleur. I don't know that we have any history to know that this guy's going to be a good coach. Now, I don't mean to hate on the guy, but his track record is standing next to Sean McVay, okay? He's not allowed to call plays. He's not allowed to make any decisions. We don't know how much game planning he had in that. But then, he had all the game planning for the Titans.
And they got worse.
That offense got worse. It went backwards, all right?
And somehow he parlayed that into
getting this job. Because the NFL is enamored with this freak offense that McVay's doing. I mean, the same thing happened in Arizona. I don't know if we're going to talk about that game or not. But at some point in time, we all have to realize this guy got fired from college. He was never better than 500 at college. In the Big 12, where nobody plays defense at all.
Yeah.
And we think we can put him in the pros and they're going to be great. I don't understand the logic. So with that being said, yeah, I like the Bears. I like the Bears a lot. Yeah. And my dislike for the Packers this season is not. I just think they won 6 games last year. I think they're going to look a lot like they looked last year.
Yeah, I think I agree. So I'm rolling Bears minus 3 here. You got Bears minus
3. I also think
three.
At some point in time, we have to stop with the Aaron Rodgers is some type of god. He's just a dude, okay? In the last, I saw this
a really
stat
talented
whatever.
Dude.
But at the end of the day, I don't know.
Just a guy.
Like the last whatever, like 50 something games, he's like 24-24. I mean, he's a 500 quarterback over the last couple of seasons. That's his record.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, all right. So last year he played hurt. That's fine. Okay. He's hurt last year. What about the seasons before that? When he actually played, was he hurt every game he's ever lost? Because that's what I can't handle.
I don't think so. I don't think so. All right, we'll move on from that. We both got the Bears minus 3 there. Sunday night, Steelers, Patriots. Patriots minus 5.5. Juice is minus 110 on that as well. The total 51 at 7:20 p.m. on NBC. Sunday night football from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. That's your boys. That's who you're going after.
Dropping another banner.
Steelers.
Make 6.
Steelers without, which ties the Steelers, by the way. So, which, of course, they were going to hang that night.
Well, they didn't make the schedule.
I know they didn't make the schedule, but it's very fitting.
Well, they're going to hang it
it's
the first
fitting,
game of the
I know,
week year.
But it's fitting that the NFL scheduled the Steelers and the Patriots. And okay. So, you got Ben Roethlisberger, and he's the only one of the Killer Bees left. Antonio Bryant's gone. Le'Veon Bell's gone. James Conner has shown up and looked good. Juju Smith-Schuster has looked good. James Washington, we'll see. Moncrief, we'll see. They've still got weapons in Pittsburgh. The defense looked really good last year, and Devin Bush.
Yep.
So far in preseason, and I know it's just preseason.
That matters. It especially matters for rookies.
It really matters for rookies. And yeah. I thought it was going to take a little bit for him to get acclimated. Yeah. And I might have been wrong.
No, that dude's a stud.
He is an absolute stud. The Pats, first real game with no Rob Gronkowski. And not just Gronk's hurt and he might come back later.
No, he's gone.
He is gone.
He's gone.
N'Keal Harry on IR.
Yep.
That was a little shocking to me.
That doesn't surprise me.
But yeah, Patriots minus 5.5 here. I lean Steelers because I think that this is a field goal game. I will take the Pats to win because who are you going to trust?
I'm going to tell you, you can think what you want to think about this game. I know Bill. Bill's taking the defense now.
Yeah.
This might be the best defensive squad the Patriots have had.
Since, in a while.
Since those Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel days. I think the Steelers are going to have a very difficult time scoring.
Okay.
I think this is one of those games where Bill is going to say, Juju's not beating us. Find anybody else you want to beat us, but one guy will not beat us, and he's always done it. He takes away the other team's best player.
Yeah, and Juju is the best
Juju's
player.
Juju's that.
And James Conner, while good.
He's not good enough to put a team on his shoulders. If you told me gun to my head, and I'm going to bet it's low. I'm going to bet it's really low. Over under, I would go under, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game.
The total is 51.
51?
Yeah.
But I would take the Patriots. I would lay the points. At home, they just don't lose
they
at home.
They don't lose.
And honoring the sixth Super Bowl and doing all the things that are going to – this game is going to be crazy hyped, and they're going to be ready to play. They're going to score. I think offensively, if anybody thinks that they know what we're going to see, you're wrong. No one knows outside of Tom, Josh, and Bill. That's the list.
Even the rest of the offense has no idea.
That's the list right there.
They got no clue. They got no idea.
I don't know how they're going to line up. I don't know how they're going to handle James White, Sony Michel, who's going to be where. What are they going to do with the new guys? Julian will be in the slot. I would venture to say that Josh Gordon's going to play, and he's going to play well. And other than that, I don't know what they're going to look like because this is something new and it's something different. But it's nothing that I'm afraid of. I think they have the best offensive mind and out of all the coordinators in football.
Let's talk about new and different.
Okay.
The Giants at the Cowboys. Cowboys -7. Juice is -115 there.
There's nothing new and different about this game.
Well, hold on. The total is 45. 3:25 p.m. on Fox. It's at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. The only thing that could be different here is you might not see Zeke. And you probably won't see Zeke. Now, he has flown back to Dallas as of today. But, I mean, he just got in tonight.
Yeah, but usually if you practice by Wednesday, you can play.
You think they're going to get a deal done?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been reported all day today that it's looking like $90 million over 6 years.
Jeez Louise, what in the world?
That's only 15 a year.
15
that's,
a year.
That's a lot less than Todd Gurley.
I mean, agreed, but that's still a lot of money. I bet there's a lot of guaranteed money in that, too.
I bet it is.
So, $90 million over 6 years.
I think the deal gets done. I think Zeke plays.
All right. Now, what about on the other side for the Giants?
I think Eli's marching out there.
He may be marching out, but if things are going poorly, how short of a leash does he have at this point based on how well Daniel Jones has played?
I think a lot of that depends on how the offense looks. If the offensive line is bad, Dallas' defense is legit. They are real, and they've got some dudes signed and locked up on the defensive side. And if they come to play and you see they see blood and they're going and they're being aggressive, I don't know that I put Daniel Jones in this game.
They had, what was the stat on them last year? They had 9 of their 10 wins were one possession wins.
One possession games, yes.
And now you're asking people to give up a touchdown. What side would you roll with?
I'm staying as far away from this game as I could possibly stay. If I had to put money on this game, I would probably lay the points. Or not lay the points. I'd probably take the points. I'd take the Giants. And here's my logic. Eli has absolutely owned the Cowboys. Now, I know this ain't the same Eli that's always been, but if he's got one game left in the tank, it's week one, he's not afraid of Jerry World at all. That man has walked away with many a wins out of that place. And if Zeke doesn't play, that offense totally changes.
All right,
so I would lay the point, and the fact they play so many close games, I would take the dog. I would just take whatever points I could get. The fact that I'm getting the touchdown, that's just crazy.
I think that's
too much.
Who's your straight up winner? Are you going to go with the
Giants? No, I'd go with the Cowboys.
Go with the Cowboys. Yeah, I could see the Cowboys winning
that,
by
that
a field
defense
goal here.
Is really good.
Yeah,
I mean they're really good on defense.
I do agree. All right, move on from that one. The Sunday noon game, CBS national broadcast.
That's right.
For the Titans and the Browns. The Browns are a 5.5-point favorite. Total is 45.5. 12 p.m. CBS at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. Man, the Browns are the story of the NFL.
Yes, sir.
Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb. You got Freddie Kitchens. You got all sorts of stuff going on. Tell me about this. I've heard that maybe the head coach and the OC aren't getting along as well as people thought. Like, there's been stories here and there about that. How good can this defense be without Greg Williams?
God.
You know, I mean, fill
this
me
is
in.
This is what's wrong with the offseason being as long as it is.
I agree.
We're now literally making up fairy tales and creating things from dust just because we need something to write about, and we can't write another puff piece about how this team looks great. And they don't look like they have any flaws. They are, from top to bottom, on the roster, the most talented team in the NFL. If they're not the most, they're in the conversation, okay? They got a real coach, a real coach on defense in Steve Wilks. You think Greg Williams was holding that thing together? Are you kidding me right now? Are we having this conversation? Steve Wilks is 100 times the man that Greg Williams wants to be, wishes he was. Are you crazy? And Kitchens and Todd Munkin, like, listen, I follow this team like crazy, and there's no problem. This is people needing something to write about. And does Munkin want to call plays? Yeah, he wants to call plays. He knew when he took the job. Kitchens is calling the plays. Freddie said last year, when I get the gig, I'm not letting it go. I like play calling. I like having that control. He's got the relationship with Baker. But I don't think we have any problem there. What's the problem? There's not one.
You got it.
There's absolutely not one. Now, let's move to the Titans. The Titans have been so mismanaged and mishandled. Marcus Mariota has a problem staying healthy. I'm going to tell you something. That defense on the other side, we talk about the offense. Everybody puffs up the offense. And everybody gives out the stats from last year because, for some reason, last year's team, they think, has something to do with this year's team, where they average giving up 32 points a game or whatever bullcrap that is. You take that, you roll it up, you throw it in the garbage. It's absolute trash. This is going to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. Myles Garrett is going to compete for Defensive Player of the Year. Mark my words, he's going to be in that conversation. He's going to be in it all year. But he's not the only one. The backfield's loaded. Linebackers are loaded. Defensive line's loaded. They've got talent on that side of the ball, too. I promise you. They got a real coach coaching them. I promise you. The Titans are going to struggle. Marcus Mariota, better hope he gets out of this game in one piece.
I knew that by bringing up those different storylines, it was going to get you fired up.
I don't know what
That's
rock.
That's the most passionate
you,
that
you I don't know
have
what
been.
Rock you. Listen, I wasn't trying to just blow my team, okay? Everyone knows that I love the Browns. Everybody knows I'm in on them. I'm in the tank, and I'm in the tank as far as you can go. But the problem is when you make something up from air and you're actually putting that out there, that's just bullshit. You just can't do that.
That's actual literal stories that have come
I understand that.
Like, I ain't making
if
it up.
If someone says that, well, I don't know what the defense is going to do without Greg Williams, what are you talking about? There's nine guys at a bar in Cleveland that could coach that defense.
I don't think Greg Williams is a bad coach.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach.
You're just saying it don't necessarily matter.
You think he's better than Steve Wilks?
I don't know about that either.
I would venture to say if you interview every general manager in the NFL, every head coach in the NFL, they would all say, I would offer Steve Wilks a contract over I'd offer Greg Williams a contract. Yeah. I might be wrong on that, but I think the overwhelming understanding is that Steve Wilks is an incredible defensive mind. And there's a reason he got a head coaching job. He actually got one.
Yeah.
All right? Greg wants one. Greg's tried to get one for a while. You know what? He gets laughed out of the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. Now that you're all fired up, let's talk about Monday night.
I'm taking the Browns. I'm taking the point. I'm laying the points. I don't care. They're going to beat them by a touchdown.
I'd already written that down.
Here's the truth about this game, okay? If the Browns come out and they lay an egg week one, after all this hype, after the way they've beefed this team up, they've done all, Baker's talked all that noise, and all those guys keep talking all that noise, and they come out, they lay an egg against the Titans, against a team that nobody thinks is better than 8-8, then what the hell are we doing? Then it's all for naught. You're at home. That place is going to be electric.
All right, so let's say that they win, but they don't cover. Is that laying egg?
Yeah. You got to. If you can't beat them by a touchdown, this is not a great Titans team. They're going to be with that. Their offensive line is going to struggle. They got offensive linemen out with suspensions.
Agreed.
Man, they're going to, like, this.
But they do also have more talent on offense than they've had in a long, long time. This defense has been built for games like this. Like, I think the Titans are pretty good. I'm taking the Titans +5.5, but I got the Browns winning.
That's fine.
Like, I think that this could be a field goal game.
That's fine.
And that's that ain't nothing against the Browns. I'm curious now if that is considered a disappointment if you don't win by enough. Like, I think winning in the NFL is hard.
I do think winning in the NFL is hard.
And this is still, the Titans have gone 9-7 three straight years. Like, this is a good football team. Regardless of what everybody thinks in the offseason, I mean, everybody thought that Cleveland was still going to be garbage last year.
They were garbage last year.
And they ended up going, what, 6-9-1? Or 7-8-1?
7-8-1. Yeah. No, they were fine as soon as they got the dead weight of Hugh Jackson off of them. But whenever before the season started, nobody trusted Hugh. Nobody believed in Hugh. I believed in him. I thought they'd win 9 wins last year.
Yeah, you had them.
I thought in spite of Hugh, they've got all of this talent.
And now they've got
they don't have
a real coaching staff. And,
that's right. I don't know what to expect from Freddie Kitchens. I know this. Todd Monken's, he's a really, really good OC. He's been in the league for a long time and he knows what he's doing. I know that Steve Wilks, been in the league for a long time and knows what he's doing.
And you got talent. Yes,
and they have talent. I trust the fact that all Freddie has to do is just manage the locker rooms, manage the coaching staff. He's going to call plays. That's great. He's super involved in the offense. I got no beef with that. I'm just telling you, there's too much talent and there's too many professionals on this team to come out flat week one.
Yeah.
It can't happen. Cannot happen.
Moving on, let's talk Monday night.
Okay.
Houston Texans at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are a 7-point favorite. That is minus 105 on the juice there. 53 is the total. 6:10 p.m. on ESPN. They got a doubleheader that night. It's in the Superdome. It's in New Orleans. I don't like the Texans. I don't like the Texans very much this year. Now, I understand that they traded and got Laremy Tunsil. They upgraded their offensive line a little bit. Deshaun Watson, I like him. They did get rid of Jadeveon Clowney, which still, I mean, traded him for a bag of peanuts.
That doesn't make this team, this year's roster, better.
No.
By the way.
No, it doesn't.
That makes them worse.
This is only a touchdown, and understand, like I just said, it's tough to win games in the NFL. But, I mean, goodness gracious. Like, I think 7 is generous here. Like, I think New Orleans can win this by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I do too. I like New Orleans a lot. I would take New Orleans. I think they're one of the most complete rosters in the league. I think that, you know, they've been crazy, insane things happening keeping them out of the Super Bowl 2 years in a row.
And now you've got a really talented, complete roster with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah. So that's that. Let me give you this little tidbit because we always like this. 80% exactly of the money is coming in on Houston.
That is bananas.
Give me the Saints all
day
long.
That is insane.
But the Houstons are the hot flavor of the team, man. Everybody's, as soon as Luck went down, they're now the massive favorite to win that conference, to win that division. I just don't believe that. I don't know that. I don't know that Indianapolis fell from grace completely.
No, I don't think so.
I think Jacksonville is going to be pretty good. I think the Titans are going to be fine. I think the winner of that division could easily be 9-7. They cannibalize one another. And that's what we get.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can just chalk Houston up there, but for some reason, man, they have been catapulted to being the bee's knees of the AFC.
That's crazy.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't understand that
whatsoever. I like Watson. I like some pieces they've got. That offensive line is still really bad. Like, so now they have a really good left tackle and 4 shitty linemen. Okay, great. You just gave up a really good defensive lineman. Okay,
but and you lose Lamar Miller to the ACL injury.
Yeah. I don't know how much that hurts you, but you
trade and you get Carlos Hyde, who is right now just a guy. Right,
but if your line is bad,
then it really doesn't matter anyway.
Watson, you can't run the ball. You can't do a lot of things. I mean, I don't know what's going on outside of Bill O'Brien is running this team like this year's the last. Kevin Clark and them talked about this on their podcast on the Ringer NFL show, to where without a GM, Bill O'Brien is making all these calls, and he's running this team like it is the last year the NFL is ever going to be. And the reason that is because it is for him. And I don't understand why ownership allows people like him to mortgage the future because they're going all in this year. Yeah. Does anybody really think they're a Super Bowl contender? I think they're good. I think they could make the playoffs. I think they could win this division. I don't know that they're overwhelming favorites to make the playoffs or to win the division. And I damn sure don't give them like crazy all – this is a team going all in to win the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you this. We thought he was getting fired last year.
We did.
And
he rolled off an incredible amount of games.
Just one possession, 1 point wins. Yeah. Like, people were giving them games.
At some point in time, they can't all be flukes. You got to give him credit. His record is what it was, and they were winning games. But at the end of the day,
about a 500 coach.
I just don't think that's happening this year. I don't think that's happening ever. You can't just walk in and start chalking up W's like that.
What is Bill?
The NFL is too tough. I don't know.
I'm pulling up now. Bill O'Brien, 42-38 in the NFL, 1-3 in the postseason. That is he's 43-41 overall as an NFL coach. So right down the middle. Right down the middle. All right, let's talk about some interesting matchups really quick. Just quick games to hit on very briefly. Falcons at Vikings. Vikings a 4-point favorite. We both love the Vikings this year. Falcons, is there anything to, you know, getting these guys back on defense, changing over to Dirk Koetter on offense?
I mean, they could look a lot better, and they could be much improved. And
we still wouldn't even know at week one if the Vikings come out the way that we think they will.
I don't know. I mean, if they don't come out good, then we won't know that. If they come out, you know, with their butthole on fire, then, yeah, it'll be
– yeah.
We'll be shocked, and we'll have to reevaluate things.
Two dome teams playing an opening weekend in a dome.
Yeah.
It'll be speedy. Rams at the Panthers. Look, Los Angeles traveling over to Charlotte for a noon kickoff. Obviously, we're going to have some of these in our gambling picks and whatnot. We'll talk about that one in there. But, yeah, that's a rough one. Do we know what's – Cam's going to be fine, right?
Yeah,
Cam
he should. I mean, they've been saying all along he's going to play week one.
He's going to be fine. All right. So, Rams coming off of a Super Bowl loss. Typically, that means not good things for the losers. So.
That team does not usually make the playoffs.
Now, the Eagles – well, the Eagles came back and they won the Super Bowl. So
they won the Super Bowl, but then they didn't make the playoffs.
No, they made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they did. They won the division.
They beat the Bears.
That's right. They won the division, beat the Bears, lost. Yeah.
Well, no, they lost the division to the Cowboys. But they were a wild card team. Chiefs at the Jaguars. Jacksonville, +4 at home. The Chiefs, year two.
We're going to talk to our buddy JT about this.
Yeah, TJ, we will...
TJ, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we will talk to TJ in the gambling picks about the Chiefs and the Jaguars, so tune in to that one. Colts at the Chargers. Chargers -6.5. Jacoby Brissett officially taking over. Frank Reich, still a fantastic coach. They still got a good offensive line there. The Chargers, however, really, really good team. They are built well. The foundation is working there. Monday night, the second of the doubleheader. The Broncos at the Raiders. This is a pick'em. I am shocked that it is a pick'em.
Me too. I love that it is a pick'em.
We will talk about this in the gambling picks as well. So make sure you check out the NFL Gambling Picks show. Again, this is wrapping up here, but you can check out the other videos as well, our official gambling picks. They'll be on the spreadsheet, which is on the website. They will also be in the Gambling Picks video, Gambling Picks segment. Go over there, leave some comments, hit subscribe on YouTube. Thank you to Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. You can find more information about them over at tunicatravel.com. You can find more information about us at winningcureseverything.com. We will see you guys again later.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.